understanding and wisdom. That's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to start off with a little fun here, and I'm going to randomly be picking on people, because I can do that. And I'm just going to have you guys, we're going to start off by just describing what you guys see. I want you guys to tell me what you see here. And then we'll start with who had volunteers, because we'll see how awake you guys are. Sergey, you volunteered.
Yeah.
What do you see?
What do I see? Not too much. Just words.
Just words?
And it's good. Looks like a jail. I don't know. To me.
Anything happening with the picture? Or is it just kind of sitting there? Does it change as you look at it?
Oh, there's dogs in the meadow. There actually isn't dogs in the middle. Or is there? Yeah, they are, but they're not black and white.
Yeah, they're not black and white.
That's okay, weird, okay. Huh? So, like, if you look at one dot, you cannot see anything else around it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, you can,
you guys
cannot see
sugar.
You cannot see other dot.
All right. Hold this book, you guys, up here. Here.
My foot is itching. And I hate when that happens.
Oh, no.
You didn't want to open it till I can.
Well, you're last, so you get the last one. You get the last pick.
No.
Why don't you guys come over?
The last one first. The first shall be last.
Oh, my God.
Come on over, pick one.
I was on the mouth.
We need some sugar. You guys need to wake up a little bit.
Yeah, just.
Well, I was right though, right?
Huh?
Are you looking at one dot? You want to see the other one?
Yep.
If you look at that one, you won't be able to see around.
Oh, I see.
You guys really want to fight this?
Want some water over there?
Oh, I'm talking
regular toys. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have some just glazed toys.
Alright, chop, chop, chop.
Chris, can you make this one? Yeah, thank you.
Bah, bah, bah.
Over there.
Right,
I need
to get
some paper.
No, thank you.
It's the same effect on the bathroom tiles.
Alright. Keep donut. Sit down. Chop, chop.
I need nothing first.
All right, I need another volunteer here. Somebody want to describe what they see here?
Lines.
Zigzag lines.
Steps.
About how far off the screen do you think they'd come together?
Never.
Yeah.
They're parallel.
They're parallel?
No, they...
They're parallel.
No, because,
they're not parallel.
They're parallel lines.
Now you gotta sit down so they can see behind you.
I don't know.
Yeah, the parallel lines, but it's not.
Look like they're parallel, but then at the same time it looks like it's kind of like.
Looks like about maybe up here they'd come together?
Yeah.
Yeah. Alright, which line's bigger?
They're the same size.
Yeah.
How do you know?
Alright, then somebody describe this to me. What do you see? Isaac. Actually, wait.
I see three Pac-Mans and three Chevrons.
Three Chevrons. All right, Katie, what do you see? How many colors do you see?
Five.
I got to ask a girl on this one. They see more colors than we do.
We both see like two, right?
There's five colors.
Five colors. All right.
I see five.
I'm confident.
I've seen five too. There's two green, one red.
Alright, somebody describe to me what they see here.
Discovery.
See what you see, what colors you see, what. Everything.
Everything
red.
Is like a
Sergey.
I'm not good at this game, Jason. All I see is the red strawberries in the. I don't know, what is that like? Is that like a whipping cream or plate? Or what is
it's kind of like a pie. It's,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but your kids.
No. That's cool. That's like a thing in the middle.
What do you see? You see some chess pieces?
Yeah.
Or do you see people?
Both.
Both.
Yeah. Depending on where you focus.
It looks like the.
Yeah, it's pillars.
Alright. Max.
They're the same.
What color do you see? Which one's darker?
Well, what the freak?
Which one's darker?
The top one is.
Alright.
But, I don't know.
They're both same.
They're the same.
Alright. We got two more, actually. So these are optical illusions, right? What do you see? Describe this one to me.
Snake. Drop off. Kind of looking at kind of from the top view. And,
What do you see? You see it spiraling towards the center. You see a bunch of different colors in
spiraling
there.
Spiraling and many colors.
Yeah.
It's not spiraling.
All right, and this last thing is called a shepherd tone. This is actually, we'll get to this actually just in a second here. But we kind of perceive everything through our five senses, right? And most of us are familiar with those optical illusions. Some of those you guys have seen, some you may not have seen. But a lot of people aren't familiar that there's also audio illusions or things that you perceive because you're always perceiving things through your five senses, right? And audio being one of them. Let's see if this will work. Listen to this just for a minute. Sound like it keeps going higher and higher and higher and is never ending.
That's weird.
It sounds like he's just playing two same notes.
We'll get back to it. We'll explain it. So the title of what we're looking at today is Knowledge, Understanding, and Wisdom. So knowledge, wisdom, understanding, these are all good attributes and qualities that you guys should all be seeking in your life and everybody should be seeking in their life. There is a difference between these three words, though. They're very similar. There is a difference between them. They're all tied together. And today we want to talk about these three attributes. We want to see what they are. We'll briefly talk about some of the things the Bible says about them, the differences between them, and the different kinds of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding there are. And then we'll just kind of lastly, we'll touch base on why you'd want to have them. So, what is knowledge? I'm asking a lot of questions today, so hopefully the sugar's kicking in.
No.
Somebody tell me, what is knowledge?
Something that you learn.
Something that you learn? These are quiet. Alright. Acquaintance with the facts, truth, principles, study, investigations, familiarity with the converse or conversation, subjects, particularly of a particular subject. So, right here, familiarity gained through sight, experience, or report. So, in simple terms, it's knowing the facts, right? Or remembering the facts. The facts is our knowledge that we gain, right? So, God mentions throughout the Bible that we are to pursue knowledge, especially spiritual knowledge. Who can give me examples of knowledge in the Bible? Biblical knowledge. Be biblical facts, right? Quoting verses. The Ten Commandments.
I was about to say that, but I was sure I'm not right.
It's a good aspect of knowledge, right? You got the laws, God's laws. It was knowledge. And who can see this? Who can read?
The mind of the prudent utters knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge.
Yeah, so that's Proverbs 18:15. The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. And then in 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? So when we look at these verses, the prudent, another word for prudent is just wise or vigilant. They gain knowledge. So the wise, so we all know some wise people, right? Some people that have been around the block. Have one that's sitting in here. Been around the block once or twice. No wise person. Been walking with God for a while. Constantly seeking knowledge.
I'm better, I need my glasses. This hurts my eyes.
So in 1 Timothy is telling us that God desires for all of us to be saved. He wants us to be a part of his family. To do this, though, you need the knowledge of truth. And what is that? It's the knowledge of his rules and his commandments, right? Knowledge of God. I did put it in here. So, Matthew 24:22-36-40. It says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law of the prophets." So, what does it say here? We need knowledge of God, right? We need knowledge of his commandments. That's the first and foremost. We need knowledge, then, and love of our neighbors. The whole law depends on these two things. So, this is where the knowledge starts, with God and with those around us. And there, a lot of people, your guys' age, they kind of stop here. I know a lot of people, they limit their knowledge of God, they limit their knowledge of the Bible to this verse right here. You can see that in the world around you. It's love God and love everybody around you, right? They leave it there and they stop. But what is the rest of that? Anybody, can you tell me what the rest of the law is? About the rest of the Ten Commandments. Read them.
You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor.
So the Matthew 22 was just the beginning of this, right? All these other things, all these other laws support the first two. Or the in Matthew, the loving your God, the knowledge. Your knowledge, as it grows, you see more and more of what you need to be doing in your life. And the commandments is a good place to start of your knowledge for God and your knowledge through the Bible. Colossians 2:8. You want to read it?
"See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. According to the tradition of man, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ."
So you got to be careful. God tells us to be careful not to replace godly knowledge with knowledge from this world. It can be in many forms. It can even come from parents, church leaders. Anything that is not from God is of this world, right? It's deceptive. The people around you, like church leaders and parents and stuff, they can help you gain knowledge, but you need to make sure you're testing that knowledge. Make sure that it's coming from God, ultimately from God, and not from themselves. Because people, it's very easy to be looking at knowledge and saying, and we all know smart, very smart people that are very knowledgeable and know a lot of facts, but is it from God? Are they earthly facts, worldly facts? And then I'll read this one real quick. Hosea 4:6-7. "My people are destroyed from the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I will also ignore your children. The more priests there were, the more they sinned against me. They exchanged their glorious God for something disgraceful." And there's a lot more to this that's going on, but the biggest thing I want to focus on here is they rejected the knowledge. They rejected God's laws. They rejected his commandments. So they were putting their own knowledge in instead of God's. And what does God say? He said, "I will ignore your children." Right? When you reject God, you reject his commandments. He desires for you to know him, and if you decide not to, there's consequences, right? There's kind of the flip side of this. There's blessings, right? There's blessings for following God and gaining knowledge of God and of his laws. So that's kind of a real quick run-through, right, of knowledge. We know it's the facts. And I think it just kind of helps us to understand the verses and kind of what God's talking about throughout the Bible, to know the difference between these words, because knowledge is just that, the facts. But if we want to apply it, what is that called? Not quite. Understanding is actually, we'll get to the war of the application.
Understanding more like a theory of it. It's not really like the practice of it.
It's good. All right. Caught on to that. Mental process of a person who comprehends comprehension, personal interpretation. So in simple terms, it's translating meaning from the facts, right? So when you understand something, you're like, you got that. Oh, okay, I know where this is coming from. So looking back at the Ten Commandments, right, we have that as knowledge. Now, if you know the next step is understanding, then you know why you should know the commandments. Why does God say, do not steal? And that kind of goes back to Matthew 22, right? It says, why? You don't steal, you don't covet, you don't put other gods before him. It's to show love. It shows the love for your neighbor. So you're not showing love if you go take his car because you like his car better than yours. You know? I do liken it to my 3.5-year-old, and I'm sure you guys have all been around little kids, and they're always asking why. He asks why with everything you tell him. So he's trying to understand everything that's being told of him, and likewise, we need to be asking why. So the why question is to the knowledge. Or we read something, we process it, we learn that fact, and we need to be asking, okay, why? And then when you can understand, and when you can say the why, or you know the why, then you've got the understanding of the topic at hand. I know it's kind of a lot there, but we can read both of these here. The Psalm 119, 130. Psalm 119 is a good one if you want to keep reading. There's a lot about knowledge and understanding. It's a good psalm for that. But in this verse, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So, I mean, God's understanding gives us that aha moment. You can ask God why he would do this or command this or act for us to act in a certain way. And when he reveals that understanding, he gives us that light. He gives us that aha moment. Okay, I need to be doing this because. And then Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Max, why don't you read that one?
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil.
So always trust in the Lord. He understands everything. We have these small brains. Some think, you know, we have bigger brains than we do, but he understands everything. And we can only understand everything in two different ways. And it kind of talks about that here. We can understand the world through what we perceive, or we can understand the world through God. There's two different directions we can go there. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. So if we give our own understanding, again, we are a fool because we're relying on our small perception of the world around us. We trust in God, and he will provide the understanding to us. It could come slowly. Sometimes, you know, you'll be reading something, not understand it for a long time, but I mean, he will give you understanding most of the time. Sometimes, you know, it's better for us not to understand something for a longer time. But then again, if we understand that, we're walking with God because he is the one that's given us our understanding. And then Philippians, did we just read that? Sorry.
No.
All right, Philippians 1, 9 through 2, 10.
And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ.
All right, so another word for discernment here is understanding. So if you put understanding in there, more and more in real knowledge and all understanding. God wants you to accept everything that is good through knowledge and understanding. So this way you don't unknowingly or knowingly sin. If you're doing what's good in the sight of God, you will shy away from the evil and the bad situations. And then lastly, we just want to define wisdom here. What is wisdom? Isaac?
separation between wisdom and knowledge.
Isn't wisdom like having a wealth of knowledge, though, specifically in one subject, maybe?
Experience.
Mm-hmm. Getting closer here. So wisdom is the quality or state of being wise, knowledge of what is true and right, coupled with judgment and action, sagacity, discernment, or insight. So yes, you got a lot of knowledge, and we'll kind of touch on why you see wise people have all that knowledge. Sounds like a baby monitor. So wisdom, and basically is knowing what to do next. Giving an understanding of the facts and circumstances.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry.
So it is using that understanding and that knowledge to apply that to your life and how to live. So that gives you wisdom. Ecclesiastes 8:1. Who is like the wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a matter? A man's wisdom illumines him and causes him his stern face to beam. I'm gonna read a little. Right here, I have a little footnote in my Bible I like on this one. But while I'm getting there, I'll let somebody read James 3:17.
But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering without hypocrisy.
All right.
Peaceable? Never heard that word before.
I think you should read more.
If I can get there here. Sorry, I had this bookmarked and then I must have fallen out here. Alright, so the back to Ecclesiastes 8:1, it says, just this footnote here, I kind of like the way it puts it, so I'm just going to read straight from here. It says, wisdom is the ability to see life from God's perspective, and then to know how the best course to take, and action to take. Most people would agree that wisdom is a valuable asset, but how can we acquire it? So Proverbs 9:10 teaches that the fear of the Lord, respect and honor, is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom comes from knowing and trusting God. It is not merely the way to find God. Knowing God will lead to understanding and then to sharing the knowledge with others. So, I just like the way that kind of sums up the Ecclesiastes there. So, but that ties our next verse together, right? We have James 3:17. It says, wisdom is an action, right? It can be seen. It has attributes to it. Peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. So if you see someone who doesn't have these attributes, or if you don't, you're looking at yourself and you're being hypocritical, you're not gentle, you're not peaceable or at peace, then you kind of need to look at where your wisdom is coming from. Is it coming from God or God's knowledge, God's understanding, or is it coming from your own perception or own perceptions? Are you wise in your own knowledge and understanding? So kind of a funny little story I've got here for you. So you've got a mother. She's feeding her children nothing but meat because she believes that meat is the best kind of food. I mean, red meat, chicken, whatever. One day she gains some knowledge that after reading some nutrition guides and articles that tell her that meat doesn't have all the nutrients that her kids need. And so she starts buying a mixture of foods like vegetables, fruits, grains, and all that for her children. As a result, you know, her children become healthier. They're not as sick as often. But the question is, did this mother love her children more before or after she gained the knowledge and understanding?
Probably the love is what changes her understanding of what's best for them did.
Yeah. So this is the same. The knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding changed, so her actions changed. Her love was fruitless in the beginning, though. Right? It was counterproductive. It didn't have any meaning to the kids. They weren't getting what they needed. So that's kind of an example of godly wisdom, godly knowledge and understanding versus the world. You need the full nutrients so you can understand and walk through life in the correct way. So we want to wrap these three topics together, right? knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. They're closely related, obviously. They each kind of depend upon each other, but they are set apart. And one of the common themes, though, is that we are to get it from above. We are to get it from God. And we kind of touched on this, that we need God's understanding and God's knowledge, God's wisdom, not our own. We're going to get back to this. And I want to kind of just go back to these optical illusions here. So this is called the Hermann grid. It was discovered by Ludemeyer Hermann in 1870. So when you look at this, say you focus right here on this dot, it's white. And you kind of start seeing the dots around here kind of move to black. And then when you change your attention or to another specific dot, it's obvious that it's white, even though it's previously black. It's kind of just a cool little perception, the way your eyes start meshing everything together.
What?
If you focus here, these dots out here start turning black or gray.
Right.
Depending on... It's kind of hard being further away, maybe, but...
I see.
This next one is called the Zollner illusion. So Zollner was, again, another guy that was demonstrating through psychology optical illusions. He just first discovered this in 1860. And this illusion presents a series of lines. You can see these lines are parallel, but because when you add these lines here, it makes them kind of look like they're converging together. So it looks like about 3 feet out they would touch, but you can put a piece of paper here and a piece of paper here, and they're the same. So, and you guys got this one. I'm sure you guys have seen most of these. The Ponzo illusion is a geometrical optical illusion where your eyes start perceiving something as a picture, and in reality, something further away in the picture looks bigger, but it is the same size. It takes the two-dimensional and turns it into a three-dimensional. Isaac got this one. I can't pronounce that. It's the triangle illusion. It's an optical illusion described by Italian psychologist Gaetano Canizza or something in 1955. Your brain tries to mesh what it sees together. Your brain will look at this and say, okay, I see triangles. I see a triangle here. I see a triangle here. In all reality, the triangles aren't actually there. There's the illusion that they're there. It's illusion contour illusion, or illusionary contour illusion. But
there's only two colors in there, right? There's three
colors here.
That's fine.
No. See this color right here and this color here are the same. These pink.
What?
So it's a color consistency. So you take the world or the perception of what's around it, and it can actually make things look different.
I see five colors.
So. The greens,
so it's just two colors.
The greens are the same, the whites are all the same, and then these pinks, purples, whatever you want to call them, those are all the same color.
It just depends on what color you surround it with. So if I look at the...
There's five colors.
No, there's only two colors.
No, that's three
colors. There's three colors. There's white, the pink, and the green.
There's white, green,
or green. That's what I was saying.
Alright, now I know none of you guys, or I'm pretty sure none of you guys have seen this one. This is another field study that is still relatively new. It's called color consistency, and it's a color consistency illusion. A lot of people, how you guys have seen the dress that went around, where what color is the dress, or what color is the shoes. It kind of falls along the same lines, but in this case, this is a picture, and there's a cyan filter that was put on it. Sergey was looking at it, he described it as red strawberries, right?
Chocolate dip brown bag.
Well, look at this. What color is this?
Grayish.
What if I told you this and this is the same color? Now, this is where it's gonna be a little wonky here. If you look here and you put your focus here, you see that's the color of the strawberries. I did a pixel thing where I grabbed the pixel and filled this color in with that. And if you follow it down and you start focusing down here, the color changes. So if you put your eyes and you kind of black out this, and I'll do this here real quick.
Yeah.
Where...
Hold on.
Here, Isaac. Why don't you stand right here, put your arm here, blocking this side of the picture, but leave this gray strip so everybody can see that. I'll go back and forth here. And you can see...
That's so weird.
That side stays the same, no matter if I switch back and forth, but the center seems to change color, right? It changes from red to gray. Kind of cool, huh? You guys got this. You know, there's two different things you can see based on where you focus. It's just a matter of whether you want to see the people or your brain sees the chess pieces there. And then this one.
They're the same color.
The same color. You throw your arm through here, you'll see the colors change. I'm not touching anything. I'm not actually changing anything. Just changing what your perception is. And this one.
They're not actually spiraling.
They're not actually spiraling, no. You can take your pen here and you go around and you're going to keep going around the same one over and over and over and you'll never actually get to the middle. Uses the an offset ring there to go kind of make it look like it's spiraling down through the triangles and all that. So our brain has these perceptions of everything there, right? This is a few examples of some psychologists use just different ways that your body, your brain perceives the illusions that we were looking at. And then, lastly, we had the audio illusion, right? It's a shepherd's tone. And if you listen to it, it sounds like it's always going up. It's always going up, right? It was actually discovered by Roger Shepherd, and he invented the illusion in 1964. And his idea followed that when a pitch rises one step, the harmonic composition is always altered, a little less high, a little more. And so basically it's done through 11 steps. There's only 11 notes in there. And so it actually repeated many times while we were listening to it, but it sounded like it kept going up and up and up. And so basically you have two octaves that are playing there, and as it plays, they keep getting higher and higher, and then the top one will fall out and pick up on the bottom and keep going up. He alluded it to the illusion here. He actually got his idea from this illusion of the never... rock always rising or the always lowering staircase.
Where is the top?
Where is the top?
I'm not sure.
This is kind of what... This is how he came up with it. Is that your eyes perceive here that it's always increasing. And then he did the same thing with audio. He just kind of translated it into the audio side.
Audio is going down.
Excuse me. Alright. So when we look at the world around us, it's easy to categorize everything based on our own understanding, right? We perceived all these illusions, pictures, whatever. We processed it, tried to create understanding from it, and you guys did pretty good on that. So why would we not want to get our knowledge, understanding, wisdom from... sorry, I'm skipping ahead of myself. But when I started showing you guys like what actually was there, right? Your perception started changing. Your understanding of what was going on changed. And you guys, if we go back to some of these other ones, you start seeing it. And maybe your brain reverts back on something like that, but you know in your head, okay, those are the same color, right? So that's kind of the reason why we want to get our knowledge from an understanding from God, right? We want to get it from the one who created every little detail and everything and anything around us. Kind of another little story here before we just kind of look at a few more verses. I had a friend growing up. He constantly asked me about my beliefs. A lot of my friends would always ask me about my beliefs. You know, go to the feast, where are you going, why? A couple of my friends asked a lot more questions than some. Some just didn't care. Some were like, oh yeah, he's gone for a week, whatever. And then one of my friends in particular, he would constantly be asking me. He'd be like, okay, you're going to the feast. What is the feast? You don't keep Christmas. Why not? You don't keep Easter. Why not? And so we talked for a long time about these, the holy days. He listened. He kept coming back to me, asking questions. Kept telling me it all made sense. And we'd leave and come back and talk more. And this is over the course of years. We were friends for a long time. But one of the last conversations we had about religion, I can never forget, because he... towards the end of our conversation, he kind of told me that he believes that everything I was doing was right. Everything what I was telling him was right. Maybe not what I was doing, but he said that, you know, he shouldn't be keeping the modern holidays. And he should be keeping the biblical ones. But then he told me that he could never do it. Not because he thought he shouldn't be, but because it would be too hard. His family would not understand. The only time his family really spends time together is on the holidays. It just, you know, it didn't make sense to him. So, what did my friend have? What was he lacking? He had the knowledge, right?
Faith.
He didn't have the understanding and the knowledge, or the wisdom to go out and make the actions. He had the knowledge of, okay, you know, this is where Christmas comes from. This is where the feast comes from. This is from God. This is from not. He understood that very clearly. So even he even had a lot of understanding. But as far as applying it to his life, he didn't see the better, bigger picture on it. So,
which is wisdom?
The wisdom. The application of it. You know, and we're going to kind of touch base on why you want that here. We're going to dive into that here. Isaiah 40:28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He knows everything, right? He understands everything that's going on around us. We have our small little brains that we're trying to perceive everything from, and he's got, you know, a massive brain that we can't even comprehend. So, we'll kind of jump through these real quick. I know we're running out of time and keep you guys awake for a little longer here. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, or homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, drunkards, revilers, swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. So we talked about there being blessings and for seeking and upholding the knowledge, understanding, and wisdom from God, right? This is the ultimate blessing right here, that you inherit the kingdom of God. When we focus ourselves and fill ourselves with the knowledge from the world or from the evil one, we don't get this ultimate blessing from God. We lose it. So, when we look back at our worldly knowledge, there is irony in these deceptions or perversions. Everyone says, it's okay, it's love, it's beautiful, it's acceptance. And we're going to add, do what makes you happy. Strive to achieve happiness. Are you truly happy? Do something for yourself. You're filling your mind with your worldly knowledge, right? I mean, this kind of touches on a lot of the issues and goes back to loving, you know, yourself, not loving God over everything else, the knowledge there, and or loving so your basic knowledge where everyone stops in the first two commandments. Okay, if you stop there, then yeah, you know, the little big topics of today are okay: abortion, LGBT, transgenderism, premarital relations, lying, cheating, stealing. You know, the list goes on. You can justify everything because you're going through your own understanding of what love is, your own understanding of what God is, your own understanding of what the world is. You put yourself in there, and I'd even say you make yourself the God. You make your own knowledge and understanding above God's. So you got to be very careful because you don't want to lose that ultimate gift from God. So, and we kind of touch back, though, to what we added there is the do something for yourself, make you truly happy. Kind of ironic, isn't it? Because what are all people that seek happiness? What's kind of ironic about what people that you always notice are seeking happiness? I'm sure you guys see it on Facebook all the time. They're posting quotes saying, do what makes you happy. Or Instagram or Snapchat or any of that stuff. What do you notice about them, though?
They're always sad.
They're always sad, right? It's not world. It's worldly. It's not godly. So God says in John 8:31, says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But and what does it mean to be free? And that's where we're going to tie in this verse, these verses here. So,
pretty
Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know, have knowledge and understanding, that the test of your faith produces perseverance. Let the perseverance finish its work so that you may not be, so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
All right, somebody want to read Matthew 5:10?
Sorry. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
So through your knowledge, your understanding, your joy, you're set free, or you're not your joy, your understanding, your wisdom, and your knowledge, you're free. And you're joyful. You have joy. Doesn't matter whatever you face in life, you know what's coming. And you are blessed because of the knowledge, understanding, wisdom that has come from God. People that seek their own understanding are momentarily happy. They go and buy themselves a toy or buy themselves flowers or whatever. And they're momentarily happy, but they never actually experience true joy. They don't know what to look forward to. They don't have that picture of saying, like what we're here for the feast for. Then I have a picture of the kingdom, the big party that's to come. We won't go through this. You guys, if you want, read Proverbs. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. Read a Proverbs a day. Proverbs is a good way, if you've got some good knowledge, good understanding. It's got a lot of wisdom in there. There's a lot of things that can help you with your lives as you go through there. You can read it and don't expect to know everything or understand everything in there the first time you go through it, but as you keep reading it, you'll keep understanding more. And as you read and go through the Bible, make sure you don't just do it with your own understanding. Again, this is where you need to be walking with God, talking with God, and lean on Him to provide you with the understanding. He's given you a book full of knowledge, full of ways you need to walk in your life, full of ways you need to be interacting with the kids around you at school or any of that. And you need to be leaning on Him to show you that through this knowledge how to walk, how to be wise in your life, right? So, I mean, I will just kind of wrap this up here. Revelation 22:14 says, "Blessed are they that do His commandments. They may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." We want to do His commandments. You want to be not just knowledgeable of His commandments. You want to be applying them and understanding them in your life. So I can't sit here and fill you with knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. I can only go so far. I can provide you with some knowledge, obviously, but you have to actually take it in. It has to come from God. It has to not come from me. It can't come from your parents. It can't come from anybody around you. They can help you with it, but you need to ultimately have it come from God. You need to be seeking God for that. And the Bible is a great place to start, but if you read it without God, you will get frustrated, and you will rely on your own mind and sift through everything. You need to talk with God every study, ask for knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Then you can be free from this world and set your sights on what matters, right? The ultimate goal. There are blessings in your life that will come, in your physical life, but that's just that, just this physical life, right? You can have a relationship with Jesus and let Him provide you with that knowledge, understanding, and wisdom that He has. He has that ultimate knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. So when you surround yourself with the true knowledge, the true wisdom, the true understanding, from God, your perception of everything around you changes. It'll be set on what matters. You'll have good fruits. You'll be seeing the whole world in a new light, and you'll be have the experience of that true joy. And you're not longer bound to the evils of this world, because when there are problems, and you guys know there's problems, you'll run into your car breaks down on the side of the road. You'll be frustrated and all that, but you'll be God will be there to help you. You'll rely on Him for everything. And you'll be free, because the knowledge and understanding will come again after this life. And you'll be walking with God. The longer you walk with God, the more you know Him, the more peace you'll have, and the more like-minded you will be. The more of His understanding, wisdom, and knowledge will be put with you and you'll be on the same page. So I just want to close with a statement and reiterate, seek knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, but receive it from God and not from yourselves and not those around you. Pray constantly and always listen.